So before I start, I just want to thank Jacqueline. Yesterday, for those of you who didn't know, was her mother Elise's memorial service. And she was kind enough to bring these lovely flowers to share with us. And I just want to thank her. Thank you. So I have a little story for you. There was a little boy, and his mother used to embroider a lot. And he would sit, excuse me, by her knee and look up from the floor and watch her as she was doing it. And he asked her what she's doing, and she said she was embroidering. And he told her that it looked like a mess from where he sat. From the underside, he watched her work within the boundaries of that little hoop that she held in her hand, and he complained to her that it sure looked messy. And she would smile at him, and she would look down at him, and she would gently say, "My son, go about your playing for a while. And when I am finished with my embroidering, I will put you on my knee and I'll let you see it from my side." And he would wonder why she had those bright colored threads and she would mix them in with those dark ones. And it seemed so jumbled up from his point of view. So after a while, he heard his mother's voice say, "Son, come here and sit on my knee." And to his surprise, when he sat on her knee, there was a beautiful picture of a flower or a sunset. He could not believe it because underneath it looked so messy. And then his mother said to him, "My son, from underneath it does look messy. It does look jumbled. But what you do not realize is that I have a pre-designed plan. I have a pre-designed plan on the top and I am following it. Now look at it from my side and you will see what I was doing." And so throughout the many years, I have spoken to Spirit and I say, "What is up with this? Why is my life so messy? Why is this dark stuff happening to me? Why do the threads of my life seem so dark?" And Spirit replied and said, "Go about your business. Your business is to do my business. And one day, you too will see the plan from my..." And so isn't that true about life? When we look at life, we look at things from the unfinished side. We look at the unfinished painting and we can't see the whole picture. We read the part of the poem that's not finished and we can't get the full message. We look at the sculpture and it looks just like this old hunk of clay sitting there. And remember those old dot-to-dot pictures? I think I liked them. You'd get this picture and it was just all these dotted little numbers on them and it just looked like a bunch of dots. And as we drew the lines from number to number and as we followed the pattern, it began to take shape for us. It began to take shape for us. Now, we all remember the story of Columbus, don't we? And he was looking for a new world. And he was ridiculed for that because after all, the world was flat and he was just going to sail over and fall off the edge. But people thought he was crazy. But he persisted anyway. He was looking for a new world. He was looking for something beyond what he knew that day. And a thousand or so years before him was Jesus. And Jesus was looking at the world in a new way as well. He was looking at each one of us as spiritual creatures. We were incarnated divine beings. And he saw that. And the people of his day looked at him as a heretic. And look what they did to him. He was acting way outside of the norm, way outside of the norm. And each one of us is on our own journey of self-discovery. We are trying to connect our dots. We're trying to figure out what that pattern is for us. We're trying to make some sense of our human existence. Now, through the years, scientists have unlocked many, many secrets. Haven't they? And what has that done for us? Sure, it's made some great strides, but hasn't it also made things even more confusing sometimes? Even more confusing. than it was before. And many of us are on this journey. And we've made a little progress, haven't we? And we've hit a few detours. Well, I've hit a few detours. And then I get to go back and start again and start again and start again. But what I'm doing and what we're doing is we're lurking. We're looking to find the truths about ourselves. We're looking to find the truth about the world. We're looking to find the pattern in those dots. We need to connect the dots. We need to create our own pattern. And we do this by forming a relationship with the divine. We do this. We create our own patterns when we come to understand that we are individualized expressions of God. And we know that we are surrounded by good. And we know that there is a law. Don't we teach that here? There is a law that we can use that will bring good into our lives as we learn to think and we learn to act and we learn to vision the good that we want to bring into our life, knowing that it already exists right here and right now. We have also learned that things are not always as they seem. If you stand on the shore of the ocean and you look out, you see where the sea meets the heavens. And as you approach it and you get closer, you understand that things are not always what they seem. That is not the truth. That is limited by our vision. It is limited by our vision. And when we look at the bottom of our mom's embroidery and we see those jumbled threads, we don't see that pattern of perfection. It is limited by our vision. It is limited by our perception. Similarly, we are looking at spiritual wholeness every day. We look at it, but we don't see it. Because it's limited by our perspective. It's limited by our vision. There are people who have gone before us, people like Judah, people like Buddha, people like Jesus, people like Emerson, people who can look beyond the material universe and see the spiritual universe, see it. Beyond a doubt. Now, you and I may get a glimpse of it now and then, don't we? We get a glimpse of the light at the end of the tunnel. We get a glimpse of what they call the greater light. And then we don't. But just because we don't see it doesn't mean it isn't there, does it? It's limited by our perception. It's limited by our vision. We know that spirit resides within all creatures and with all people. And sometimes it's really hard to see it, isn't it? It's really hard to see it, but it is still there. And it is our personalities. Our personalities are the use that we are making of those divine gifts that we have, those individualized pieces of God that we are. We are individually a projection of the divine, and we don't have to understand it. We just have to be it. Now, we know about the different ideas that come into being, and we know that oftentimes when something is invented in the United States, it's also invented in Europe or in Asia at the same time because there's only one mind. And thoughts do not belong to anyone. Thoughts do not belong to anyone. They are a projection of the divine. And we also know that when we use a thought, it's not gone. When we use a thought, it is still there. And there's just as much left as there was before we used it. Everything comes from divine mind. Earlier I said that things are not what they appear. They are not what they seem. And when Don was talking about these 1-minute miracles, that is the purpose of the 1-minute miracle, to see beyond the appearance, to see beyond the chaos, to see beyond those jumbled up threads, to see the truth of who we are. And that is through our prayers and our spiritual mind treatment, our scientific prayer. When we do a treatment, we are looking beyond the appearance to the truth. And the truth is, we are all spirit, we are all whole, we are all perfect. Now, Jesus discovered that. He discovered we do not need to become immortal. We already are immortal. We do not need to become spiritual. We already are spiritual, and we don't need to become a genius because, you know what? We have divine mind, and we already are geniuses. We do not need to go anywhere, for God is within us. And we are in the process of waking up to the truth of who we are. We are in the process of moving from mother's knee up to see that bigger picture. We get to think of ourselves with God thought, not with human thought, but with God thought. We get to think of ourselves as what we truly can be. We get to think of ourselves with God thought, and we use that creative thought. And as we do that, we create that finished picture and not the unconnected threads that are underneath. And we live affirmatively. We get to live affirmatively, conceiving more and more and more good. Because isn't that how God lives? Affirming the good. And we get to go beyond the appearance. We get to go beyond the appearance of limits to limitlessness. And we talk here, and we talked this morning about science of mind embracing all philosophies. And we do. We embrace Mohammedism and Judaism. We embrace Hinduism and Zoroastrianism. We embrace Taoism. And we embrace the various Christian sects because there is truth in all. And it's kind of like all the paths are leading to the same destination or back to the same source. Buddha is reported to have told his disciples they should not believe his teachings merely because he taught them, but they should try it for themselves and see if they work. Where have we heard that before? We should try it for ourselves and see if it works. In the Anguttara Nikaya, it is written, "Do not be led by reports or tradition or hearsay, but be not led by the authority of religious texts, nor by mere logic or inference, nor by considering appearances, or by the delight in speculative opinions, nor by seeming possibilities, nor by the idea, this is our teacher. But when you know for yourself that certain things are good and wholesome, then accept them, follow them." And he even extended that to his own teachings. And Ernest Holmes told us in The Science of Mind the same thing. He told us to remain open at the top, not to become closed-minded and think this is the only truth. He told us that we can prove to ourselves that this stuff works. We can prove to ourselves by demonstrating. And are you doing that? Are you using the law to bring more good into your life? Are you picturing the result and looking beyond the appearance? Why are we here? Why are we here? We are here to be an expression of the divine. We, you, are the delight of God. Dogs must bark, singers must sing, dancers must dance, creators must create. And God is a creator, and each one of us is an individualized expression of God. Each one of us is a creator as well. We are creators. We are here to use those spiritual laws that God gave us. We are here for good. We are here because we are individualized expressions of God, and there is nothing outside of God, and we are here to embrace the truth and the wholeness and the abundance and the goodness that God has in store for us. We aren't here to suffer. Sometimes we're unhappy, but we are born to be happy. We are born to be abundant. We are born to be joyful. And each one of us is spirit, soul, and body. And each person that you meet is spirit, soul, and body. And sometimes we forget that, don't we? Sometimes we forget that behind that appearance, the truth of who they are individualized expressions of God, and they may not be acting like it right now. They may not be acting like it right now, but that is the truth of who they are. And don't we draw to us those things and those emotions that we are giving out? Don't we draw to us, if we're angry, don't we run into angry people? And when we're happy, don't we run into happy and joy-filled people? And when we are loving and embracing, isn't the reaction from those people that we do encounter different than when we're grumpy and walking around, you know, kind of growling? Well, I growl. Maybe you guys don't. We do invite people's reaction to us. God exists within you. God exists within me. God exists as us. And when we love people, people love us. And when we're nice to people, people are nice to us. And when we're not, guess what? They aren't always nice to us. And so as we connect the dots to become one with that living Spirit Almighty, with the living Spirit Almighty, we get to accept the joy and the gifts and the love that God has for us. And we thank God every day as we see those feelings expressed. Now, we talk about the power of the Word, don't we? We talk about that here. And Ernest Holmes tells us if one word has power, any word has power. All words have power, and not just the ones that we use when we're praying and we're meditating. Even those words that we use when we're standing in line at the grocery store or when we're driving our car and get cut off in traffic, those words have power too. And when we are in the physical and the mundane world, those words create. What are you creating? What are you creating when you're gossiping about your neighbor? Remember being told, I know we've been told over and over again, to be careful what we ask for. Be careful what we ask for. And the other thing, that the part they forget, is pay attention, because you don't always know when you're asking, do you? Be careful what you ask for. We cannot spend 10 minutes a day doing positive affirmations and then the rest of the time negate them by saying, isn't that stupid? What a waste of time this is. You ever say that? If we want to create more, if we want to use those words to create, we want to create positive things. We want to attract to us the things that we choose to become. It's time to bring it together. It's time for us to not only to integrate the mundane world, the physical world, with our mental world and with our spiritual world, and to begin to use the law to demonstrate the things that we choose to have in our lives today. We want to choose. We want to be free to see the world that works for everyone. We talk about that all of the time. And we do that as we connect the dots, as we see that pattern of our lives, as we become the wholeness that we're meant to be. There's only one power. There is only one power. There is only one presence, and we can use it. We can use it with our faith. We can use it affirmatively, and we can claim our at-one-ment, our at-one-ment with the divine. We need to come to understand that we walk in God, we talk in God, we breathe in God. There is nothing outside of God. We live in God, all of us, and most of all, not to judge by appearance. We see the sea where it meets the sky, and we know that that is not the truth. we see the illness, we see the things that make us unhappy, and we know that is not the truth. We want to find a different truth. We want to find a truth of joy and love and to live in peace and to let go of the past and to let go of fear and to embrace our oneness with the divine. We have come to the point in our evolution that we can create the wholeness that we want. And each one of us does that. Pretty soon it will spread all over the world. You know, they say we want peace. Well, peace begins right here, right now, with you, with me. When we understand that the earth and the stars and the planets and everyone is made up of the same stuff. God's stuff. You know, scientists say that if I move this piece of paper, I am affecting something clear around the world. Everything is interconnected. And that's what I'm saying. The more the scientists discover, wow, the more difficult it can be to conceive of what they're talking. Everything is interconnected, and that furthers our understanding, doesn't it, of God? It furthers our understanding of our place in the universe. It helps us to connect the dots when we know that all of us are connected, and that if I hurt you, I am truly hurting me. We are never alone, and nothing we do does not impact another, and nothing they do does not impact us. And when we change our way of thinking, and when we change our way of being, and when we change our way of speaking, we can bring that wholeness and that truth into our lives right here and right now. Ernest Holmes says that when we consciously use the law creatively for good, we can exchange the human experience for the more nearly divine. Spirit knows all things, and the law can do anything, anything. And we, through our thinking, are the ones who set that law in motion. When I move this paper, it affects someone clear across the world. We are the ones who set the law in motion. The world is constantly in a state of change. Our bodies are constantly in a state of change. But God is constant. God is consistent. God is always there. Spirit is always available and always waiting. Always waiting. We need to speak that word to create the wholeness that we want in our lives. That is how we connect the dots. Ernest Holmes says, quote, "The greatest good that can come to us is that we form an absolute certainty of ourselves, of our relationship with the universe, forever removing the idea of heaven being something outside of ourselves. The fear of hell or any future state of uncertainty. We are each a part of the only life there is, some part of the eternal God. We are forever reaching out, forever gaining, growing, expanding, and the Spirit is forever incarnating in us." And isn't that a big concept to take in? I know it is for me, that what I'm doing affects you and what you're doing affects me, and that God is there constantly waiting for us to create the good, waiting for us to create that peace that passes all understanding, waiting for us, you and I, to create that world that works for everyone. So your homework for this week when you leave here today is to go about your divine business. Go about your divine business of connecting the dots, of integrating all of our parts into the one. Let us create what it is that we want to bring into the world. And we do that by envisioning what it is we want. What the truth that we choose to have in our lives today. Like attracts like, doesn't it? Like attracts like. Be the truth you choose. Be the truth you choose to see in the world today. Be that person that you wish to see in the world today. Please join me in prayer. Sweet, sweet Spirit, Father, Mother, God, that divine and holy essence in which we live and breathe and have our being, that God of light and love and peace and joy and truth. O holy, holy one that is known by many names, I am one with it. And if that is true for me, that is true for each and every person in this room. One with the divine, one with wholeness, one with health, one with peace, one with joy, one with love and laughter. So as I speak my word this day, I speak my word for each and every person in this room as they move through their activities of the week. I know that they embrace life fully. I know they create a perfect world in which they live. I know their abundance. I know that they are open and ready to receive all of the good that God has in store for them. I know their lives are filled with joy, peace, and wisdom. I know that each one of us chooses wisely as we integrate our parts into the one, and I give thanks. I give thanks for the wholeness and the oneness and the love of God. I give thanks that God embraces, surrounds, supports, strengthens, and uplifts us as we move through the week. I give thanks for this day. I give thanks for each and every person here. I simply release this word to the working of the law which always and only says yes. Please join me in affirming, and so it is.